Tonight, in the Lord's Prayer, we're at, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, some of the most traditional translations say deliver us from evil, but in most other places in the New Testament with the same Greek construction, it's the evil one. And because temptation is going to be associated with Satan. So whether it's temptation itself or this particular, the tempter, the evil one who tempts us, we're just going to consider this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's interesting that we should pray this, that we should ask the Lord not to lead us into temptation, because James 1:13 says, let no one say when he's tempted that I'm being tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. So God, why should we then pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation? He doesn't tempt people. It's a good question to ponder, why we should ask the Lord, do not lead us into temptation. Think about it with me for a minute. Just let's look at it. Because we need to remember that if God does not help people with temptation, he can simply give them over to it. He can just let you do what you're being tempted to do. He can say, okay, you want to do that? Go right ahead. And not help you at all. Now, the Bible does say that when we're tempted, that God will help us and actually show us a way of escape. But what if that's just for those who are asking for that help? What if the person is not praying, lead us not into temptation? And the Lord just says, okay, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. Run into the brick wall. Take it. Smoke it. Drink it. Do it. Go ahead. I won't stop you. You haven't asked me to. You haven't asked me to help. And this is what Paul warned about in Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts. You see what he's given them over to? He's giving them over to their lust. He gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Since they weren't worshiping God, they had already decided to believe something that was not true. God gave them over to their own desires and to make themselves impure. And so we, if we're wise, yes, Sister Debbie? I think so, and he knew that Pharaoh had become dependent upon the Israelites to build his mega cities, and he wasn't about to let him go. So I think he knew Pharaoh was going to be resistant, so he said, I'm just going to harden his heart. And he basically just gave him over to his own hardness. I think so.
Why would God just put temptation to begin with? Why'd you put it there for?
Well, I don't know that he did to begin, except in the garden he gave instruction, because relationship is based on trust. And if he forced us to follow and there was no alternative choice, how would it be trust? That couldn't be, we'd be robots. And I don't think any of us want that. We want a relationship that's built upon trust. And the other good question, that part of what Adam's question is why does he allow evil? Well, think of it. If everything was only hot, you wouldn't know what cool is. If everything was all sour, you wouldn't know what sweet is. And if everything was all good, would you really appreciate it? But the fact that there is evil, that there is pain, that there is suffering, makes goodness and rest and life valuable. So the Lord allows evil to make his own goodness appreciable, valuable, and even greater. But let's just be aware that if we're not asking God to do not lead us into temptation, if we're not asking for his help, he can just give us over to our own desires. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there's this scripture in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verses 16 and 19. And this is when God's people were being pretty stubborn. He had tried to speak to them a long time, but this word came to the people of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways, and he's talking to the people, and see, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and what will you find? You will find rest for your souls. But what did the people say? We won't walk in that. And so I set watchmen over you. The watchmen would be prophets to warn the people. And what were the watchmen saying? Listen to the sound of the trumpet. Remember, a trumpet's blown when there's an enemy on the attack. Listen to the, listen, we're under attack. Satan, the people of God are under attack. But what did the people say? We will not listen. So the Lord says this, therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, here's what the Lord says. I am bringing disaster on this people, but here's the key. What kind of disaster? The fruit of their own turning away. In other words, he was going to let them have the consequences of their own decisions to turn away. He was just going to stop trying to prevent them from continuing to go the wrong direction and just give them over because they have not listened to my words. So I'm going to give them over to their own way. And so if they want to cry out to an idol of wood or stone or silver and gold, what's an inanimate object going to be able to do when trouble comes? You cry out to a rock. Save me. Save me. Of course. He's just given them over to their own choices. But if they would have listened to him, they would have found rest for their souls. And he would hear when they would cry out. So this is why we are to pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Same way, Satan is being made through the earth.
I think so, because when there's none of his own people as a witness, you know, it says if the rocks could cry out, he's just declaring to angels and all of creation so that I am blameless, so that all of my creation will know I've done all I can. That's basically what I think he's saying. He said, let it be recorded. I've done all I can. I'm just going to give them over. So we need to understand, now, for us, we need to understand the relationship between desire. Desire is the other word for lust. Lust and desire are the same word. A lust is just a very intense desire. So we need to understand the relationship between desire and temptation. And this is explained in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 14. Each one is tempted. So each one, that means all of us. This is the way each one of us are tempted. So if you want to know how temptation works, pay attention. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own desire. So what does that make us vulnerable to? That makes us vulnerable to our own lust.
I've got to plug in.
Our own desires will be exploited by Satan and used to draw us away after the temptation. Okay. Let me get this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, And what partakers of the divine nature means, sharers in the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, and it's God's nature. Remember what Jesus said? The spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak. So by partaking in the divine nature, it's God's power being perfected in our weakness. And when we become partakers of the divine nature, we escape the corruption that is in the world. How? How does the world become corrupt? By desires. It is, desires are what the enemy is exploiting. See? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own desire. And the word enticed, I didn't mention this before, is enticed means to be baited by. Now, how many of you are smart as a rat? Well, I'm a rat's faster than I am, and they're pretty smart little creatures, but they also like to eat, and they like peanut butter. And I can exploit their desire to eat by enticing them to my trap. And you can draw them into a place where you want to spring the trap on them. Don't let Satan treat us this way. Don't let him create things in our life that are, he's just baiting us. He's baiting us to draw away from the goodness of God by some lust only to entrap us. So all men, including all of us, if we're not careful, we will be corrupted by our own desires, because God does not tempt anyone. Satan, the evil one, uses our own desire to bait us or draw us away. That's what we need to understand about temptation. It is Satan tempting us, and he's exploiting our own desires to do it. So I would call bait this. Have you heard the term in the scripture, the deceitfulness of sin? Bait tastes good, right? Or it looks good. Catfish bait may not smell very good to us, but to the catfish under the water, they're drawn to that smell. Yeah.
Even the same analogy. Pumpkin pie, or maybe chocolate pie, or chocolate cake.
It sure will. You know, a lot of us love our tamales and our breakfast tacos, but did you know that San Antonio in this area leads the world in diabetes and percentage of population? Because we have our love for things that we have to be careful about. So now, the deceitfulness of sin is this. It is pleasurable. Sin is pleasurable for a season. It feels good. It can taste good. It can seem good for a season. It feels good at first. But what it's actually doing is it's drawing us away from God's best. God just remember, God is good. And God's desire is for us to experience his goodness. And sin means to miss the mark. Well, if God is good, the bullseye is his best. God desires his best for all of us. Satan does not want us to experience God's best. Satan wants us to miss that mark. You know why? If we experience God's best, you know what we're going to have? Joy, peace, contentment, the fullness of life. And like I've said before, if I have just finished the Outback steak and I've had a bloomin' onion or those cheese fries and I've had a nice sirloin and there's steamed vegetables and butter and bread, I can pull out of the parking lot and McDonald's can be right next door and I'm not even tempted to pull through the drive-thru at all. I am full. And when I am full of the joy of the Lord, when I am full of peace, when I'm already content and I don't need anything, what's he going to draw me with? What is he going to bait me with? I'm not hungry. I'm satisfied in Christ. I'm full of joy. It's when we're empty and we're looking for something to satisfy a desire that we're very, very vulnerable. Remember when David fell into the temptation with Bathsheba? If he had been out with his men when the kings went out to war, he would have been out there with his men in good company doing something purposeful. The Lord would be with him. But what was he doing? He was in his palace walking around late in the afternoon, bored. And he happened to spy a young woman. And so he was in a state of emptiness. He wasn't full of the joy of the Lord doing the Lord's work. And it left him vulnerable. So we miss the mark by giving in to the bait. And then here's what James says. When that desire conceives, and by conceives, it means we act on it. It's when temptation and our choice to act on it come together, that's when sin is born. Now the beautiful thing is, and I don't have it in this particular slide, the good news for us is that when sin is born, it's not immediate death. The Bible says in James, in this very same chapter in James, that it's sin full grown results in death. That is good news. The reason that's good news is if you've given in to temptation and you've sinned, there is time to turn back around. When you're convicted by the Holy Spirit and you realize you've done something wrong, you can confess your sin, turn away from it, and it won't give a chance for sin to continue to grow all the way. Because when sin gets full grown, it becomes a slave master. And it begins to dominate us. And there's time for us to turn away from that before it happens. So deceitful sin always leads to slavery if we give in to it. Because think about what is an addiction? An addiction is a slavery that we've built with our own hands. We've made our own chains. How many people want to stop smoking and it's so hard for them? Why? Because they have smoked. They've given in so many times that now what they've given in to is suddenly taken over them. And it's that way with many drugs. You take a drug to get the feeling from the drug, and suddenly the drug is taking more from you than it's ever doing for you. That is the deceitfulness of sin. It always leads to slavery. Yes, Marie?
Those aren't the only vices.
Not at all.
There's shopaholic,
there's talkaholics, there is TV-aholics, there is, there's many things that you cannot live without, whatever it is that you can't live without. The good news is, here's what our Lord Jesus said. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if you're sinning, now he's not saying everyone who commits a sin, but if you are in the process of sinning, you're a slave to sin. But he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So there is freedom from slavery to sin. But the question is, how does Jesus set us free? If we understand that, then we can overcome sin and temptation. How does Jesus set us free? John chapter 8, verse 31, 32 gives us his answer.
The University of DuPont had an interesting history.
It does.
Started right after the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of veterans coming into the church.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that every time they had Sunday school, after Sunday school, the break between Sunday school and the preaching, a lot of these ex-soldiers would stand outside in front of
smoking.
Away.
Yeah, I remember growing up, that's what I'd see, because I grew up right here. Yeah, I remember that. This is what Jesus said about being, how he makes people free. If you continue in my word, notice not if you visit, continue in, abide in, remain in my word. So what do you think temptation would be drawing you away from? The word. The temptation is drawing you away from his word. But if you remain in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, the truth is his word. Now, some people like to think the truth is just he died on the cross. No, the truth is every word he said. Remember when he was tempted by Satan? If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. And what did he answer? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. See, if we're living by the words of Jesus, if we're living by them, we're continuing in them, we dwell in them, though, then we come to really know the truth, the fullness of the truth, not just some of the truth. We come to know the fullness of the truth, and that's when the truth then sets us free from the deceitfulness of sin. It sets us free from even the pleasurable drawing away. We recognize the bait. The truth helps us recognize temptation.
Pastor,
yes, brother.
I'm reminded, I think it's in Hebrews 11, where it would say about a certain person like Moses was in Egypt and
yep.
had these pleasures, and it said, but by faith he chose otherwise.
Yes, by faith he chose to be suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And it was by faith. And faith comes by hearing, Gary. So what in temptation, here's what's going to happen. When we're tempted, we're aware of a drawing. We're aware of it. Temptation means you become aware. That doesn't mean you sin. Let's say you're desiring to do something. That just means you're under temptation. Well, then what do? You've not sinned yet, but if you yield to that, you can sin. So the Holy Spirit is there to help. And the Holy Spirit will speak in your spirit and remind you, this is what the truth is. This is what the Lord says. And if you will hear that truth and follow that truth by faith, you respond in faith to that. You, by believing the truth, you're set free from that temptation.
Because faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by the word. Yes, it does. So that's why faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our natural man feels the temptation. And sometimes the temptation is agitation of thought. We're upset, we're disturbed, we're all stirred up. And the Spirit speaks the words of the Lord to us. And if we will hear what the Spirit is saying, we'll put our faith in the truth. The Spirit will guide us into the truth. And as we are guided into the truth, we escape the deceitfulness of sin. We escape. The sin is trying to lead us away, and the Spirit keeps us in the way. So we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, when Jesus is praying for his disciples here on this slide, John 17, 15 through 17, notice how he asked the Father to protect them from the evil one. Because he's praying about his disciples. He knows he's about to go away. So he's asking the Father, he says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world. We have to live in the world. We're believers. But look what he asks. But to keep them from the evil one. Isn't that very close to the Lord's Prayer we're studying? Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now he's praying to the Father that the Father would keep his own disciples from the evil one. And look what he goes on to say. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. And sanctify means set them apart. So you know, do you see then how are we protected from the evil one? The evil one is the father of lies. The evil one is the one who uses the deceitfulness of sin. The evil one is the one who's trying to lead us astray and deceive us. So how are we protected? We are set apart by the truth. By believing the truth, by following the Holy Spirit, we are preserved from going after our own desire. After a deceitful desire, after the deceitfulness of sin, by hearing the truth and following the truth, we're kept from the evil one. So knowing the truth is what sets men free. We're protected from being baited and drawn away by Satan, by being set apart by the truth. And this is why Jesus says that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And let me explain something to you. If you've understood that verse to mean the Holy Spirit will help you understand the Bible, well, that's part of it, what it's saying. But it's saying more than that. God's truth says that I'm to love my wife like Jesus loved the church, right? You know, the Holy Spirit will guide me how to do that. The Holy Spirit will tell me, why don't you help with the laundry? The Holy Spirit will say, well, why don't you wash dishes? The Holy Spirit will say, why don't you stop and get flowers? Or the Holy Spirit will say, why don't you call and check on your wife or send her a text? He's guiding me. It's not just helping me understand the Bible. He's actually guiding me how to live the Bible. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we're to love one another as Christ loved the church. Well, the Holy Spirit helps me to know how to do that. I know Emily loves coffee. The Holy Spirit reminds me when Emily's around, take her a cup of coffee. It's just, it's simple. You know, it's things like that. The Holy Spirit reminds her that I love jalapeno bombers. So it's like it's a win-win situation. There, you know? Yeah.
Can the devil perform miracles?
You know, he can. Certain things, up to certain things, like Pharaoh's magicians did. Yeah. He's got certain powers because he is a supernatural being. But the thing is, those miracles will be, and it says this in 2 Thessalonians, deceiving and lying wonders, because they're actually meant to take people away. Remember in the Old Testament, you probably remember this, a test for a prophet was, even if they perform a sign, but they say, let's go and worship another god, they're false. Even if the sign was real, it was a test. So yeah, there is, evil has some legitimate powers. Now, so we need to face something. Our desires are wonderful. You know, desires are wonderful. God enabled us to live with desires because desires are good. There are many wonderful, good desires. But we need to decide whether we're going to live by our own desires or live by the truth. Okay? Because some of our desires, we're told, are deceitful desires. And sin has done that. We need to realize that sinful or deceitful desires corrupt and enslave men. Whereas the truth cleanses and frees men. So, if we know that we are vulnerable because of our own desires, we can see why Jesus said to follow him. Remember what he said, if anyone will come after me, what must he do? Right. First, he said he must deny himself. First thing. And doesn't it make sense? Jesus knew we have our own desires. And if you're going to live by your own desires, guess who you're not going to follow? You're not going to follow the Lord Jesus if you're living by your own desires. Now, does it mean that he won't fulfill some of our desires wonderfully? But if we're living to fill our own desires our own way, we won't follow the Lord. Part of following him is denying some of those desires. We deny those desires. We take up our cross and follow him. And the positive aspect of this is we need to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is why we're weak in our natural selves, and God gives us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit in us produces God's desires. Again, we've even said it tonight. The Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So part of being led by the Spirit is learning to allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of our life, to be our guide, to lead us, to show us how to live. And we do not automatically follow the Holy Spirit. That's not something we just do automatically. This is a choice we must make daily. Oh, so this is, you think Jesus was saying this in prayer? if this is a choice we must make daily to follow the Holy Spirit, do you think this has something to do with why we're to ask and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one? You know, we need to learn to ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and not just assume it. And Jesus taught us this in Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, I have a lot going on sometimes, and I have a tendency to forget something. And I'm constantly asking the Holy Spirit to bring to my mind, what is it that I'm supposed to remember? What is it that I'm supposed to do? Help me. I ask for help. It's the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. I want to be shown what to do. You know, I could study the Bible and just in my own mind, I could just pick a passage. Oh, I'll just preach from this Sunday. Or I'll just go through this. Is that what you want me to do, just using my own mind? Or would you prefer that I'm saying, Lord, you know what your people need. Would you show me what I need to think about and what I need to speak about? I'm asking for that. I don't just assume it. I ask for it. And when I'm praying, I ask for help. What am I supposed to pray for those that I'm praying for? I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to show me. This is something we can ask. We're not asking for the Holy Spirit. We have him. We're asking to be filled with the Spirit. We're asking to be led by the Spirit. We're asking for the Spirit to control our lives, to help us think, to help us make decisions, to help us recognize temptation, to help us recognize the traps that the enemy is setting for us. We ask. We ask for that help, and the Lord will give it. And many do not have the guidance of the Holy Spirit because they're not asking. Now, why would someone not ask for the help of the Holy Spirit? Because they're not fully aware of the danger of the deception they're in. You know, if you're confident in yourself, I got this. But if you don't know how to do something, like if there's something, a part of your engine, your car's not working, and you're not a mechanic, what do? You ask. But it's incredible how many spiritual things that we don't know to do, and we don't even ask anybody. We don't even ask God. Lord, my grandchildren are coming. Would you help give me your wisdom and how to be a witness to them? Lord, I want to see your grace and your mercy work in the lives of my son and daughters. Would you show me? Would you give me wisdom to guide my conversation? Would you bring something about? There's so many things to ask for when you're aware that you don't have it all on your own. So the reason so many people don't ask is they're just not fully aware of the danger of deception, and that they're not really aware of how weak they are. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, the poor in spirit, it's kind of the picture of those people that are signing. They don't have a job. They want to eat. And if someone doesn't give them something, they can't do it on their own. Now, I'm not saying that they need to stay in that state, but the idea of poor in spirit in the Bible is you're destitute. You're desperate. You need help. We're supposed to be poor in spirit in regards to this. We should not look at ourselves like we're Superman. I'm so strong in the Lord, temptation can't even bother me. It just bounces off my chest like bullets off Superman. No, we wake up every day weak. We wake up every day vulnerable to temptation and to sin. And when we are aware of our weakness, we lean upon the Lord. We look to his help. We ask for help. We don't assume that we can do it on our own. And that's why in the Lord's Prayer, we're to ask for his help. You remember what the scripture said in James, that God opposes the proud? Why would God oppose the proud? Because they don't think they need him. They think they've got this on their own. They don't need his help. We got this. We're going to do what we want, go where we want. They're self-sufficient. No. And since they are unaware of their lack, they don't seek God for his help. They just assume they've got it, and that's just what they do. When we are properly aware of our weakness, we seek his strength. And so the Lord had to help the Apostle Paul. Do you remember when the Lord helped him? The Apostle Paul had major revelations. He was a spiritual person. He understood the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, people could touch him with handkerchiefs and touch people and they would be healed. The Apostle Paul was a mighty apostle. And here's what he said. He said, to keep him from becoming conceited because of the amazing revelations that he had received, the Lord gave him a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And to buffet him means to hit him in the face. It's like there was a demon hitting Paul in the face, just pow. And Paul pled with the Lord, remember, three times to take it away. It was breaking him down. And the Lord said to him, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, when we become aware of our weakness, we tend to lean upon his strength. To become strong in the Lord does not mean you're no longer vulnerable. It means that you have learned to lean heavily upon the Lord. You look to him for his help. You grow in experience. You're just as vulnerable as the rest of the world. You have desires. You're in that natural person, but what you've learned is you need to be very close to the Lord at all times. Like that song, I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. The nearness of the Lord is our good. And when we do not lean or trust upon our own strength, you know what we tend to do? We ask the Lord, lead us not into temptation. We are aware that we're going to get up today and there may be a trap out there for us. There may be a bait that is there to draw us away after it. Who knows what it is? It may be something we see on the TV. It may be something someone says to us. It may be something someone doesn't do for us. It may be a bit of unfulfilled desire, a disappointment, whatever it is. There is something there that the enemy wants to use to draw us away from Christ. And it makes very good sense to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If to make assumptions is something that's not good. This is the last slide for here. We're at the last part of our study. Paul in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Now remember what walking by the Spirit is. What does walking by the Spirit mean? The Spirit speaks the truth of God to us. The Spirit guides us into all truth. So we're to walk by the Spirit means we're listening very carefully to whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And the Holy Spirit is to guide us into truth. The Holy Spirit will say, Brother Allen, that's a trap. Don't even answer that question. What do you think about Donald Trump, Brother Allen? That's a trap. I ain't going there. You know, there's all kind of things like that. You know, what if Satan just wants to get us at odds with each other? He may just suggest we enter into a certain topic of conversation that is meant to divide us. It is the Holy Spirit's presence with us, speaking to us, leading us, that causes us to see this desire is not good. It's a bait. It is to draw me away. It's to lead me away. You know what some of this is? Let's see. I think I have an example of this. I do. I just have to use it very carefully because I'm recording. You see this right there? Big bait.
Oh,
big
yeah.
bait. The world at your fingertips. Yes. Big bait. Gang, 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 gang. Time, 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 time. Waste, 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 waste. Is it bad? Oh, no, no, of course not. No, of course it's not bad. Why would Satan use something bad to attract a Christian? It's just good, not best. Is it lawful? Of course it's lawful. Nothing wrong with it. What's right about it? What's good about it? What's it teaching you? Hand-eye coordination. Oh, you got me there. You're probably the most coordinated person on the planet. If you stay, look. We know it's just an extreme. To enjoy a little bit of diversion on it is fine. Enjoy it. Be wise. Because remember, a good hunter does not pop the trap the first time. You know what they do in Texas before deer season? They put out these corn feeders. And how generous of these hunters to just feed the deer. And a certain time of the day, the battery goes off and out goes the corn. And then miraculously, there's just free corn. All the deer have to do is smell it on the ground, come up, and it's right there. And you know what? They get used to eating it day after day after day after day. They enjoy the corn. Not a thing happens to them until one day, boom! Just all that. Oh, listen, beware. Satan is crafty. He will not pull the trigger all at once. He may subtly get you used to drifting, you know, away. You know, some of us have been at the coast, and we're just swimming. We're just having fun. And we don't really notice that, wow, the shore is not near as close as it was about 10 minutes ago. And then suddenly we're way out there, and we're caught in a tide. If it's a riptide, it can be life-threatening. But even, you know, if we're not a powerful streamer. So this is why we need to be very aware of the Holy Spirit. The phone is just one example. It can be anything. It can be ourself. It can be, we can make it the center of our world. We just want to talk all the time. It can be our work. We can be a workaholic. It can be our home, our car, it can be anything. Here's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance to help us see how the Lord sees all of these things. We just want light on them. God's light makes things visible. And when God's light shows something, we won't step into a trap because the Holy Spirit is there guiding us. That's the key. Because there's freedom in the Lord to do many things. But we need to have that freedom in the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where there's liberty. Because the Spirit will never guide you into a temptation. The Spirit will never guide you into a trap. The Spirit will say, that's long enough, it's time to do something else. The Spirit will say, not today, you're becoming too dependent on that. That happened to me. I had become fairly dependent on watching the news every afternoon. I'd come home tired and just kind of like give myself a break. It was my break time. I kind of deserved it. Kick back. Dina was in there in the kitchen, you know, finishing supper. She always wanted me to kind of have something to eat soon after I came home. So I would just flop on, turn on the TV, and I was enjoying it while she was cooking dinner. And sometimes, you know, she wasn't quite on time, you know, wasn't, where was it? You know, it's like, I wasn't offering to help her. Do you need anything? It's just like, She must have been distracted or something, you know. And I'll just wait, you know. I'm just being so patient, you know, so spiritual, you know. And it just, it's a deception. And what happened is, back in last August, the Southern Baptist Convention here, the San Antonio Baptist Association, had this time where they suggested that you devote, you have a special season of devotion to prayer. So I just thought, you know what? I had this check about, maybe I was watching a little bit too much news and television. So I just decided, you know what? I'm gonna just forgo that. I'm gonna decide I'm gonna abstain for a season. And you know what I figured, what I found out right away? That, man, I really missed it. You know, when you're feeding it all the time, you don't really, you're not even aware of it, are you? You're just doing it, it's natural. Stop doing something and see how much of a hold it has on you. And then, so as I began to step back and deny myself a little bit, guess what I heard the Lord say? I heard him say, well, why don't you go down and help Nina in the kitchen? And then, so I began to help in the kitchen and help with the dishes, and that led to helping with the laundry. And that, it has been so wonderful, because there's so many things that I'm doing that has so enriched my home and my life and my relationship. And the things that I was doing was not illegal. It wasn't sinful. It wasn't wrong. It just wasn't God's best. See the difference? We need the leadership of the Holy Spirit to help us see those things. All right, and let me stop there.
Bottom line, be careful next time you sit down with that second piece of cake.